legislative meeting.
Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02 a.m., Thursday, March 29, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and I call this meeting to order. Commissioner Brian Crashus and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak are here as well, so we have a quorum and, I guess, a full house. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Crashus?
Good morning, everyone. The only opening comment I want to make is just a reminder, as we approach April, that is Safe Digging Month. So we'll have some more information coming out from the commission on that in terms of making everyone aware, but it's hard to believe, I think, when I look at the forecast, that spring will eventually be here. Apparently it will be. That's the rumor anyway, and I'm hopeful. But sooner or later, construction season will begin again in earnest, and just a reminder of everyone to make sure you call in before you dig and to be safe out there.
And my favorite call before you dig line, I don't know who said it first, but I heard it first from Congressman Kramer when he was Public Service Commissioner Kramer. Call 811 before you dig is better than calling 911 after you dig.
Yeah.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
I just got back late last night from a meeting in New Orleans for the MISO, Midwest Independent Systems Operator, annual board of directors meeting. And as MISO really basically runs the electric grid that serves all of North Dakota and much of the central United States. And it's an organization that has an incredible amount of responsibility and an incredible amount of power. They're run by a board of directors, and we get our customers basically pay for MISO, and the customers throughout this region pay for them. And so as regulators of the utilities who sell their power to MISO, we have a really important role there, and it's a role that I think we are recognizing more and more we need to elevate, and being in front of the board is an important place to do that. And so I was pleased to have an opportunity to be there for a couple of days, and one of the biggest issues they're working on, and I'm going to keep talking about it just because this stuff is so technical and obscure, yet it's ultimately really important, so I want to do my part to help educate the public about it. But they're coming up with a new cost allocation formula for new transmission projects. So when there's new, not just distribution projects in state, but new larger transmission projects, 230 kV or higher, they are going to be using a new cost allocation formula. And some of the proposals would put a lot of the costs for wind or renewable-driven electric transmission lines that are being constructed to take the electricity to other states that need this electricity either to meet their renewable objectives or for other reasons, the costs would be put on North Dakota customers in a formula that's, I think, not fair at this point. And so that's an area where myself and some of Montana, South Dakota, and Minnesota, we're looking at it very carefully to make sure that there are adjustments made to this procedure to protect customers who aren't benefiting or using the project in the state, and but yet the project's being built here, so current allocation formulas assume that you're getting benefits from it, and we want to make sure that the benefits are appropriately calculated to reflect the actual benefits North Dakotans might receive from a new transmission line that's largely driven by the need to get the power to some other place. So that's an issue that has been going on for a couple of years. There's now an active proposal. We've responded to that. MISO calls it pencils down in June. That's when they want to have the proposal finalized. And so we're staying pretty actively involved in that procedure and doing our best to have our voices heard.
Okay, thank you. Moving to the consent calendar, we have five items on consent plus previous minutes, and I move adoption.
Second.
We have a motion and a second
Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion approved.
Okay, on my portfolio, I think things just flow better if we do RC1 after RC3. And so does anyone mind making that change? Okay, without objection, RC1 will come up after the last item in my portfolio. RC2 then. I move the commission issue the notice of opportunity for comment on North Dakota Network Company, designated eligible carrier, cancellation/application, case number PU-18-91.
Second.
On July 31st of 2003, the commission designated North Dakota Network Company, I'll refer to as NDNC, as an eligible telecommunications carrier, or an ETC. For purpose of receiving federal universal service financial support for providing universal telecommunications services in the study area served by SRT Communications, that is the company up in Minot and the surrounding areas in North Dakota, using wireless personal communications facilities. On March 22nd of 2006, the commission designated NDNC as an ETC in an expanded area further around Minot. On March 13th of this year, the commission received notice of NDNC's intention to relinquish its ETC designations since, as of February 28th, NDNC is no longer providing wireless services. Under federal law, the commission shall permit a carrier to relinquish its ETC designation for an area served by more than one eligible telecommunications carrier, but the state commission must require the remaining eligible telecommunications carrier or carriers to ensure that all customers served by the relinquishing carrier will continue to be served. And so the commission will receive written comments in this proceeding until close of business on May 15th of 2018.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion's approved.
Then moving to RC3, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business in North Central Farmers Elevator, facility-based grain buyer of Hague, North Dakota. Discontinue business case number GE-18-98.
Second.
On February 23rd of this year, the commission received a request to discontinue business from North Central Farmers Elevator for its licensed grain warehouse at Hague. North Central merged with the South Dakota Wheat Growers on February 1st of this year and subsequently changed their name to AgTegra Cooperative. AgTegra applied for a license for the Hague facility and will be assuming the grain inventory, outstanding warehouse receipts, and open contracts. So all the statutory requirements have been met as of March 19th, and at that point I did issue a temporary discontinue, and now staff recommends that this permanent request to discontinue be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Again, and last is RC1. I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business in AgTegra Cooperative, facility-based grain buyer, Berlin, North Dakota. Discontinue case number GE-18-87.
Second.
So that previous case, again, was the discontinue of the previous... the discontinuance of the previous licensee at Hague, and AgTegra is the new licensee there. And so now in this case, on March 19th, we received a request from AgTegra Cooperative, which, as I said, was formerly the South Dakota Wheat Growers Association, to discontinue licensing at their grain facility in Berlin, North Dakota. Effective July 1st of last year, the Berlin facility was licensed by James Valley Grain of Oaks, North Dakota, but there were unsettled deferred payment contracts that were retained by AgTegra and not transferred to James Valley Grain. So since Berlin was AgTegra's only licensed location, they were required to maintain their license due to those unsettled contracts. Now, as of March 19th, as we discussed in the previous case, AgTegra has a licensed location at Hague, North Dakota, and therefore is able to discontinue this license at Berlin and continue to hold the unsettled deferred payment contracts. So staff recommends this request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would just point out that Berlin, North Dakota, is the hometown to former United States Senator Milton Young, who, when he retired in 1980, was the longest-serving Republican U.S. Senator in history.
How many years did he serve?
You know, I don't know. I know it was over 30, but I don't know how many.
Impressive.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Crashes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Commission issue a notice of intent to close proceedings in the caption Northern States Power Company cases PU-12-813, PU-13-706, PU-13-707, PU-13-70-708, PU-13-742, PU-13-743, PU-13-194, and PU-13-195.
Second.
On March 9th, 2016, the Commission issued its order approving settlement in the caption proceedings. In the settlement, Northern States Power Company, NSP, agreed to file a new regulatory framework for selecting future resources to meet the energy and capacity needs of its customers. Then on January 3rd, 2017, NSP filed a regulatory treatment framework, and NSP at that point proposed to move away from a fully integrated resource portfolio serving all states and toward development of a separate generation portfolio or portfolio serving North Dakota and the remainder of the NSP system. NSP was not seeking or is not seeking a commission order on the RTF, but asked that each regulatory commission in the five states it serves in the upper Midwest engage in a dialogue to achieve consensus on the structure of the NSP system, what it will take over the long term, and each state's responsibility for past resource selections. On February 8, 2018, the Commission discussed the filing with NSP and advocacy staff during an informal hearing to provide guidance on next steps regarding the filing. At the informal hearing, several new regulatory framework options were discussed. Based on the discussions, the Commission intends to close the caption proceedings. Those who are interested are invited to comment in writing. Comments must be received by May 8, 2018. And for more information, you can contact, or people can contact, the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol at 701-328-2400. And just, you know, there are a lot of moving parts, and this is a complex equation, to say the least. But I want to start out with just describing that this is notice of intent to close the proceeding. And I think that's a very, very important point to make in all of this. It doesn't immediately close it, but rather gives the company a chance to respond back to this direction. During the informal hearing, we talked about there was a lot of time spent at the informal talking about legal separation of the NSP system, in terms of having it legally separate and create a separate North Dakota entity. And we talked at length about that. Another option that was also as a part of that conversation was pseudo-separation. And then the third option, if you will, would be maintaining the status quo and not changing where things are currently at. I think it's important to clarify, and one of the reasons I want to move in this direction For me, a big part of it is it relates back to the fact that this has been going on for a very long period of time. It's been going on for an extended period. This ties back largely to disputed resources where the company doesn't feel it's getting compensated, if you will, for resources that they are putting in place as a part of the Minnesota Renewable Mandate. And while I feel for the company and the challenges they face, my job is to represent the citizens of North Dakota as a commissioner. And as a part of that, not only from a rate-paying standpoint on these disputed resources, it really becomes about how do we allocate and how do we utilize best utilize resources here at the commission. And again, to underscore, this has been going on for a very long period of time. Intent to close the proceedings does not change or eliminate options that the company will have going forward. The company will still have the opportunity going forward during rate cases and on a resource-by-resource basis to pitch their case, to present their case to the commission. That doesn't change. But I do want to know if the company, based on what happened at the informal hearing, still wants to look at other avenues, and if so, I would like to have that that clarified. So again, we're using resources in the best possible way because these are North Dakota tax dollars at work, and I don't want to make the assumption that the company is done pursuing legal separation. I don't want to make the assumption that they want to pursue pseudo-separation, because after that informal hearing, a lot of different comments were made. And that's feedback that they received from each of the commissioners, from staff, and it could certainly change how they view this. So we will see. They have ample opportunity to respond back, and if they respond back, we'll take that into account, and then we'll head in the appropriate direction from there. But again, this has really been going on for a long time. It ties back to largely the Minnesota Renewable Mandate. And for me, it's really about having a clear sense of direction going forward to be efficient and to make efficient use of taxpayer funds here in North Dakota.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I was the one that held this over a couple times, and I am. I was considering a couple other different avenues, but I have decided that this is a good, prudent next step, and I'm interested in seeing what the various parties, both the company and advocacy staff, file, if anything, in regards to this, and then looking at a number of different options and possibilities for how we can respond based on what they file. So I'm ready to support it.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's approved.
Okay, next for me, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order in Otter Tail Power Company, Minn Kota Ag Products Incorporated, Richland County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-96.
Second.
Okay, just some history on this. On February 27th, 2017, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to extend electric service to Minn Kota Ag Products Incorporated, a new facility that's being built currently under construction in Richland County of North Dakota. And on March 15th, 2017, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until April 11th, 2017, for filing written objection based on the issue of public convenience and necessity. On March 31st, 2017, Dakota Valley Electric filed its protest and request for hearing. Then on July 26, 2017, the commission issued a notice of hearing scheduled for a public hearing to be held on October 23, 2017, in the commission room here at the state capitol. And the notice identified 10 issues. And I will I will get into those 10 issues as I I'll describe them here in just a little bit. But from a time frame standpoint, on October 23rd, 2017, a public hearing was held as scheduled, and on February 1st, 2018, Minn Kota filed a petition to intervene and request to present oral and written comments. On February 2nd, 2018, Dakota Valley filed its objection to petition to intervene and request to present oral and written comments. Then on February 12th, 2018, Otter Tail filed its response to petition to intervene and request to present oral and written comments. On the 19th of February, the administrative law judge denied Minn Kota's petition to intervene and request to present oral and written comments. On March 5th, 2018, Minn Kota filed a petition to reconsider. That was objected by Dakota Valley on March 12, 2018. The administrative law judge denied Minn Kota's petition to reconsider on March 13, 2018. So 3 points to make, and then I'll get into the 10 issues and try and give a quick synopsis of each of those. The applicant is Otter Tail Power Company, is an investor-owned electric utility providing electric service to its customers in North Dakota under the regulatory jurisdiction of this commission. Dakota Valley Electric is an electric distribution cooperative providing electric service to its members in North Dakota. The customer, Minn Kota Ag Products, is an organization organized under the laws of North Dakota. So one of the issues, from whom does the customer prefer electric service? And as we've noted in the order, the customer does prefer to receive electric service from Otter Tail Power. And during that course, they had the opportunity to testify at the hearing that was held here at the Capitol. And just a little background, the facility is designed to receive approximately 20,000 bushels of grain per hour. It's a sizable facility and has a storage capacity of approximately 3 million bushels, and Minn Kota plans to start operating this facility June of this year. One of the other issues, another issue that we considered, what electrical suppliers are operating in the general area, and that would be Otter Tail and Dakota Valley are the only two. If I remember correctly, Dakota Valley is serving 18 customers in the area that we reviewed. Otter Tail is serving two. And then in terms of electric supply lines existing within at least a two-mile radius of the location to be served, we made note of that in the order as well. And Otter Tail actually owns and operates the transmission line that is going or is adjacent to the Minn Kota site in Richland County. And then, of course, I mentioned the customers that are currently served by both electric suppliers in that area. Again, it is 18 for Dakota Valley, 2 for Minn Kota. And really, then what we started to look at, I should say, or what I was looking at, you know, personally, you know, really this is about one of the overarching factors in a case like this relates to duplication of service, duplication of infrastructure, I should say. And during the course of the hearing and with the evidence presented, the cost for Otter Tail to extend service to Minn Kota Ag is approximately $235,000, $236,000, if I were to round that up correctly. And Dakota Valley's estimated cost to extend service to Minn Kota is right around $94,000. So you've got $236,000 versus $94,000. For me, that in itself is very telling when we're talking about duplication of resources and orderly development, that there is such a difference in overall cost. I will acknowledge that the cost of service for the customer is less from Otter Tail, but that in terms of issues to be considered and how that is evaluated, even though the customer prefers electric service from Otter Tail, customer preference, I have to note, is not controlling in the issue of public convenience and necessity. Again, I talked about who can adequately supply, or I didn't talk about it, but another factor is who can adequately supply reliable service to the customer. And in this instance, both can serve the Minn Kota site with reliability, with sufficient reliability. Then you have to look at future development in terms of orderly and economic development in the area. And in my opinion, Dakota Valley is better served to continue to serve the area with orderly development. And that Otter Tail's application would result in wasteful duplication. So one of the big underlying issues, of course, is you have a customer who prefers service from one customer because of the rate structure, but in terms of, since that's not a controlling factor in the issue of public convenience and necessity, then it boils down to orderly development. And it's an attractive customer. It's a large load customer. It's very attractive. Any utility would want to have access to be able to serve that load, access to and to be able to serve that load, because it can positively impact the bottom line as well as it's a benefit for other customers within that system. So when we talk about the Territorial Integrity Act, and it's really about, you know, it's just that, it's territorial integrity. This facility is not on the edge of town. It's actually, and I'm 2.3 and 3.1 miles respectively from the communities of Morton and Barney. So it's not right on the edge of town, but rather it's in my opinion, solidly in the territory of Dakota Valley Electric. And because of that, because of taking into account the cost to extend service, which again I think is very telling, I think it's important to recognize the rights of the cooperative in terms of what its territory is, and I support granting service of this load, this customer going to Dakota Valley Electric.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Randy.
Well, I think you've made most of the key points, and I don't disagree with your conclusion, but I do want to add just a couple things regarding customer preference. And you're correct that it's not a controlling point, but I always think it's an important point. And while I don't think that the two things I'm going to mention would change Mr. Schuler or Minn Kota's desire to get service from Otter Tail Power, I do think these are things that are addressed in this order and were addressed in the hearing that are important considerations based on their testimony. And one is the testimony was that based on their experience at another facility, grain handling facility they have in Wahpeton, they would have preferred, and that's served by Dakota Valley, and based on that experience, they'd have preferred Otter Tail Power. And subsequent to that, Dakota Valley made some points about differences in the systems, that Wahpeton facility was originally constructed as something else, converted into this, and there are efficiencies in a new setup like what is being talked about here today that aren't there, and so felt strongly that some of those problems they've experienced in Wahpeton will not be experienced at this facility. The second thing was, one of the concerns had to do with soft start motors. And as I recall the testimony, the higher than 50 horsepower motors were probably going to be soft start, I think, in either case. But the Dakota Valley had a policy that 30 horsepower and higher needed to be soft start motors. And so the concern was those 30 to 50 horsepower motors. And at the time when we had that file in front of us and went through it, there's a lot of them. And so it would be a significant cost. But after hearing Minn Kota's concerns, Dakota Valley testified that it did not see that. They testified that they typically require the soft start motors for more than 30 horsepower, but that it did not see that policy as being a forced requirement on Minn Kota given its distance from the substation. So I think that's an important feature here and an important part of the testimony from that day.
For me, this case really, all of these cases, I try to focus in on the public convenience and necessity as well, and the law saying that the public inconvenience and necessity requires the construction of operation by either the investor-owned or the co-op. And as it was stated, really, of the 10 factors, three of them sort of are a wash. They don't really go to anybody. The other seven factors, in my calculation, five of them weighed pretty strongly for Dakota Valley, and two of them weighed strongly for Otter Tail, or more strongly for Otter Tail, and one of those being the customer preference, which we've already talked about, not being a controlling determination. So I think Dakota Valley, in this case, it's just simply is the location of this is a natural extension of their existing infrastructure, and therefore becomes a more natural customer for Dakota Valley. During the hearing, Otter Tail testified that they were going to develop this substation and the line to serve the customer, and said, you know, quite honestly, that they didn't intend to serve anybody else and didn't foresee serving anybody else from that at any time in the near or distant future. So it was really dedicated infrastructure for that customer, it appeared to be, and that seems to me like duplication of infrastructure. The other thing that's always a little bit challenging in these matters is the customers come and testify, and there's somebody who wants a certain way, and it never really feels like there's been a thorough conversation had by the customer with the other potential provider. And so the provider, the co-op in this case, is responding to the what it thinks the customer wants and what it's hearing that the customer wants, but it doesn't ever really seem like they've had the sit down, go through really solidly, here's the best we can do, here's what it's going to cost, et cetera. So I'm hopeful once we make a decision here today and the company and the two companies can sit down and get to work on how to best serve the needs of this customer. And it is an important new project in that area. It's a huge investment by this company, and power is an important part of it. And so I'm hopeful that it's going to be more economic than the company expects it to be, and that the some of the issues with their motors and the reliability and some of those concerns that sometimes get heightened a little bit, I think, in the hearing process will be mitigated and end up being a really strong partnership for the Dakota Valley and this new business for many years to come.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. And the last on my list, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated. I'm going to start over again. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Northern States Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Biomass PPAs application, case number PU-17-270, Northern States Power Company Deferred Accounting, Biomass PPAs, application case number PU-17-271, and Northern States Power Company Deferred Accounting Laurentian PPA termination, application case number PU-17-322.
Second.
On June 30th, 2017, in case number PU-17-270, Northern States Power Company filed an application for advance determination of prudence for proposed transactions related to power purchase agreements, PPAs, for the Benson Power Biomass Plant, the Pine Bend Biogas Plant, and the Hennepin Energy Recovery Center. Also on June 30th, 2017, in case number PU-17-271, NSP filed an application for authority for deferred accounting and to defer recognition for the transactional plant closing and other associated costs of transactions proposed for Benson and Pine Bend. On August 10th, 2017, in PU-17-322, NSP filed an application for authority for deferred accounting that it would allow NSP to defer recognition of the costs of terminating its current PPA with the Laurentian Energy Authority with a series of buyout payments. And then on November 29th, 2017, the Commission issued a notice of consolidated hearing consolidating the caption cases for hearing and scheduling a hearing for February 2nd, 2018. On January 18th, 2018, NSP and advocacy staff filed a settlement agreement, which they state resolves the open issues in the three caption cases. The settlement agreement provided for, among other things, granting an advance determination of prudence for NSP's decision to terminate its PPA with Laurentian with a series of buyout payments, as mentioned. And one note, the settlement between advocacy staff and NSP contained provisions that had not been included in the first notice, and therefore the public will now have ample opportunity to comment and respond if they so choose to this. And then one final note, on February 2nd, 2018, a consolidated hearing was held as scheduled in the commission room here at the State Capitol in Bismarck. Those interested are invited to comment in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 4th, 2018. And if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And once again, for more information, the number here at the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my list.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I just have one item. I move the commission deem complete the consolidated application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Endeavor Field Service LLC 8-inch and 6-inch NGL pipelines, McKinsey Billings Stark, citing application case number PU-18-72.
Second.
Well, we're scheduling a hearing on this application for May 14th at 10 a.m. At the Grassy Butte Community Hall in Grassy Butte, North Dakota. The first time we've scheduled a hearing in Grassy Butte. I was quite pleased that we were able to find a location for that. It's very central to this entire project, and so it's kind of the midpoint, so it worked out quite well. Endeavor Field Services has filed this application for a corridor certificate and route permit for a natural gas liquids pipeline approximately 17 miles long in McKenzie County, natural gas liquid pipeline approximately 22 miles long in Billings and Stark County, and for four natural gas liquid pipelines, each approximately 5 miles long in Stark and Billings County. We will be holding this hearing, like I said, on May 14th at 10 a.m. in Grassy Butte. This project is really, as they propose it in the application, an alternative for marketing and transporting NGLs. They're going to be gathering, they're proposing to gather the gas from the or take it from the One Oak processing, not One Oak, Oasis processing facility north of Wofford, transfer it by a portion of new pipe, then convert existing portion of the crude oil Bakken Link pipeline into an NGL pipeline, and then add on another chunk of pipe at the end to take it to the Bellfield gas plant, where they have additional capacity to process and produce purity products such as propane and butane and natural gas, consumer-ready natural gas. So they'll further process it, and then they'll be able to distribute through the rail facility there at Fryeburg the more finished products to various markets throughout North Dakota or throughout the United States. So currently a lot of the NGLs are taken as NGLs by pipeline out of the state. This will proposes to process them a little bit further and transport a lot of them by rail. So they're eager to get going. It's a $46 million project, and they intend to or hope to have it in service by November of this year, beginning construction early summer and completing in October, and their goal is to have it in service in November 18th, obviously pending all of the regulatory reviews and approvals.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add that I was talking to some individuals in the petroleum industry, certainly not about this, but just in general, a general conversation about when you think of all the natural gas plants that are being proposed to be constructed or are being constructed currently, and all the associated infrastructure, that this might satisfy demand up until 2025, and it might be might not even quite get that far down the road, which I think is, when you think of the rapid expansion of infrastructure, just the fact that it's a pretty short window. The other point is Grassy Butte is, I don't necessarily want to say it's a part of my old stomping grounds. I don't have any factoids, Randy, like you might volunteer shortly on Grassy Butte, or he might not. Grassy Butte has a beautiful, it's very small, but it's just a beautiful small Catholic church that when I would go out and visit family in that part of the world, that was one of the highlights of the trip, just because I don't know if it sat 50 people. It was just really a neat sense of community out in that part of the world. And, of course, I'm not going to date myself, but it was a few years back. So,
well, I try and constrain the small-town factoids to my own portfolio. So, but I don't have any on this one. But I will say this. When I first reviewed this application, as soon as I seen the map, which was always the first thing I look at, just like kind of a feel for where something is going, my first thought was, man, that's a long ways from Wofford City to Bellfield to have just one hearing and one end and not the other end. Is there some way it could be in Grassy Butte? And all that kept popping into my mind was the little park shelter that you see as you're driving by. And so I'm really pleased that staff or you, Commissioner Fedorchak, whoever did the background work and found us an acceptable facility that we could use there. It saves the taxpayers and the company the resources of having what I think would have had to be two hearings if we had to have this in either Wofford City or Bellfield. We'd have to have one in the other end. And it's just a good central location that I think is reasonably convenient for everyone involved. So, good job.
Well, the thanks goes out to Vanita Best, McKenzie County Commissioner, because I just texted her and said, is there any facilities in Grassy Butte? She said, City Hall. So there you
of
go.
Of course.
She's done.
She's the best person you could
contact. Yeah, exactly. She even knew how many people it would hold. So,
any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay, and that concludes our regular agenda today. I have a few announcements. Actually, this afternoon, we have an informal hearing on case number PU-11-69, a Metal Arc Wind siting application, and that's about topsoil segregation requirements. Next Tuesday at 5 o'clock is the first round of our public input sessions on Otter Tail Power Company's 2017 electric rate increase case. That's PU-17-398. That's again at 5 o'clock, a public input session, as we have traditionally done through the State Interactive Video Network, and the points where people can show up to participate in that are at Devil's Lake at Lake Region State College, at Jamestown at the James Valley Career and Tech Center, at Wahpeton at the Science School, and at Botano at the Dakota College there, or here on the 12th floor of the Capitol. 2 days later, then, on April 5th, we're going to have a second round of public input sessions on the same Otter Tail Power case. That will be held at 12 noon for people who would be inconvenienced by the later time schedule of the Tuesday one. And we're going to try something new here. People are going to be able to contact us via the internet or through their phones, and the information for that is on our website. So that is, again, at 12 noon next Thursday, April 5th. The following Tuesday, April 10th, we have a formal hearing at 9 o'clock. A Hess case, the Keene Oil Gathering System conversion. That's case number PU-18-24. That's at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. On April 11th is our next regular commission meeting at 10 o'clock here. And the day after that, at 9 a.m., is a formal hearing on case number PU-17483. That's One Oaks Cherry Creek Pipeline conversion. That will be at the Ernie French Center in Williston. At this point, we will stand in recess. We'll take questions from the press, followed by about a 5 to 10 minute break, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of our meeting.
Just simply to go back to the Minn Kota Ag Products, what specifically does that plant do or will do?
It's going to handle. It's a grain handling facility, but my understanding is that it will also handle chemicals, herbicides, et cetera. And I'm trying to remember if it has fertilizer capabilities as well. But, you know, for the purposes that, you know, we were looking at, I think it's predominantly a grain handling, but also with seasonal activity.
I think it's about a 3 million bushel warehouse.
Right. It is 3 million.
And did they give you an idea of how much their power costs will be per year or per month, anything like that?
Both provided cost estimates, and frankly, they provided them, to be really honest, in a little different format. So when I was going through the numbers, I can give you some hard numbers, you know, from 275,000 to 306,000 on the Dakota Valley side. If I remember correctly, I'd have to look at the final numbers. But they did give some estimates, but I was talking to staff earlier today on those estimates, and we were trying to triangulate, if you will, because, you know, the methodology is a little bit different, but both supplied their own numbers, I guess is the best way to say it, and those numbers became a part of the record. So just looking at annual revenues, Dakota Valley estimated, as I stated earlier, 275,000 to 306,000 over a 9-year period. So starting at 275, moving up to 306 over that 9-year time frame. Otter Tail estimated their annual revenues of 251,000. But then you start to layer in other factors beyond that, which can change those numbers even more, whether it be rate of return on Otter Tail's side or whether it's capital credits that Minn Kota Ag might be eligible for down the road.
I think that plan is being constructed right along Highway 13, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no question. It will be an asset to the area, an asset to the agricultural community as well as the towns in proximity to it. There's no question about that. And it was alluded to or mentioned, not alluded to, but actually mentioned earlier. From a business standpoint, I certainly understand after spending a good chunk of my career in the private sector running businesses that, I completely understand the you're looking for least cost solutions, but there are also advantages when you build in a location like that. Property valuation is lower than, for instance, typically than being on the edge of town. Having access to maybe costs of putting a rail spur in or less. Not involved with crunching those numbers, of course. That's Minn Kota Ag, but there are definite advantages to building where they place the facility.
Right. While we're on that, well, power, the NSP captioned cases. The company was complaining that it wasn't being given enough credit, or was not able to charge enough in North Dakota to make these things go.
When they would put a resource in place that was being driven by the Minnesota Renewable Mandate, as an example, they would want to apply 6%, 5.5% to 6% of that cost, have that apply to North Dakota ratepayers. The commission, and to be really honest, I'm probably, out of the three of us, probably not the best one because I haven't gone through a number of those cases in terms of denying that cost recovery from North Dakota customers, but in effect, that's what they are seeking, is to be able to be reimbursed for those costs through rates applied to North Dakota utility customers. The commission has denied many of those costs, if not all of them, as they tie back to a mandate that's being issued by another state that our customers, our ratepayers in North Dakota, have no control over. Our job is to look out for the welfare of the North Dakota ratepayer and not to have it unduly influenced by legislation from another state.
Yeah, recall, Dave, there's over the 5-plus years that I've been here, there have been a couple of those renewable cases where this commission has denied recovery. And then, of course, Minnesota doesn't want to approve recovery, I suppose, for that portion that they feel should be North Dakota's responsibility. And so it puts the company in that predicament.
It's a tough challenge for the company, but I view it as a Minnesota NSP issue, not a North Dakota issue.
Right. Commissioner Fedorchak, any idea how much their proposal from MISO might raise what we pay?
No, because it's just a formula. It's a formula that would apply to future projects. So there, it depends on the size of the projects, and it depends on how the cost, the costs are and how they ultimately determine who benefits, and then it's applied accordingly. So it's just there isn't a tangible example yet. It's just basically a theory at this point that's going to be resulting in a new tariff, I guess, it's a new tariff that they're going to be filing through FERC that would be used in these future cases. So that's, we just want to make sure that there's the right mechanisms in place to determine who benefits from, and if nobody in North Dakota benefits, that there's an out for North Dakota customers from having to pay for those kinds of projects that might be, basically fall in the category of merchant wind, where it's being developed here and sold to customers outside of the state. It's not as big of a deal when it's a project, which a lot of the projects in North Dakota are today, partially owned or participated in by either North Dakota co-ops or our investor-owned utilities. But as there's more and more wind on the grid that is being constructed to serve interests outside of state, just because North Dakota has such a strong wind resource, we want to make sure that the transmission lines being developed aren't being charged to North Dakota customers.
I just want to add to that, because we've had some of the same discussions at SPP, and you know, the perspective from some of the other states who are seeking the energy is that, you know, these projects are not necessarily built because the power is needed. And so to say that the users of the electricity should be paying the costs of that, they say, no, these are economic development projects. And states like North and South Dakota are getting all the economic development. You're the ones getting $150 or $200 million construction projects in your state. You pay the transmission charges. And so that is the argument. And frankly, as we sit through some of our hearings, a good part of the discussion is about the wonderful economic development we're going to get here, not about the need for this electricity. And so they're putting up a pretty good fight for exactly the proposal that you talk about.
And that's where the benefits, you know, where you identify what the benefits are and how those result in what you should pay. That's where those sorts of issues they're looking to add or consider things like that. And we're just focusing pretty strongly on fighting that.
Sorry, I'm jumping in late here. What did you take a BK1 today?
Or yes.
Okay. So what does that mean for the XL's plans for? I mean, did you pass these, approve these, or I mean, what does this all mean for XL's?
The motion's been made. They have until May 9th. Hang on a sec. May 8th. They have until May 8th to respond back. So essentially that means they have the opportunity to come back to the commission and, if they choose, present to give us a direction in terms of where they might want to go in the future. And as I explained just a little bit earlier, there are three options on the table. One, they can continue to pursue legal separation if they choose. They can move towards pseudo-separation. Or they can accept status quo, knowing that they haven't lost any tools, any opportunities to continue to present their case on a resource-by-resource basis, or through the rate case process, should they bring a rate case forth to the commission. So they continue to have every opportunity that they had prior to this. This is really about defining a sense of direction and knowing that if we're going to spend time and resources pursuing something, that it's in fact an avenue that they're still interested in, okay, in going down based on comments during the hearing that was held previously.
So you did approve BK1 then today?
Yes.
Okay. Is your understanding that they're still preferring to go to legal separation?
I honestly don't know. Okay. As I stated, I don't want to assume, mm-hmm, what direction that they're going, and that was a big part of how this motion was presented. They very well could. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this should give us a sense of direction and provide clarity to the issue.
Yeah. So you're expecting some more clarity by May 8th about what they actually want to do.
Right. Right. They'll either present something, or if they don't present something, then they would be agreeing, in effect, to leaving things the way they are, knowing they still have the opportunity to pursue reorganization and present that to the commission if they so choose. That would be a different case if they went down that road, pursued that. But no, honestly, I don't know.
Sure.
I want to just add that just even if none of the parties say anything, we still have other options too. So we can bring other options ourselves to propose to narrow the scope or pursue different ways. There's no order required in this, so there's a lot of different options. And I'm looking at some of those, but I do want to see if the company and advocacy staff have any thoughts on what they want to do, if anything.
Yeah.
And I think it just should be pointed out on, was it February 8th when we discussed this with them? Mm-hmm. You know, they've gotten a lot of feedback from us now, and I'm sure in the meantime they've gotten a lot of feedback from the Minnesota Commission as well.
Yeah.
And so this has been out there. They've gotten feedback. I think this is their chance to either just scrap it and say, well, this is kind of chasing our tails, or refine it and bring us something that is a little more refined based on what they've heard from both sides.
Okay.
Ultimately, they have to prove that whatever direction they want to go, they would have to prove to me that this is beneficial to the North Dakota ratepayer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, short of that, then that's where I need to see the value from a North Dakota perspective.
In other words, the commission would need to approve if they wanted to legally separate, the commission would have to vote to approve that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any preference one way or another that they do that, or they keep it the way that it is? Or
I'm not. I would just go back to what I just said, and that would be, because I can only speak for myself, and that would be whatever they present, or if they brought something forward as a result of this, if they bring something forward, they would have to prove to me that there's a benefit to the North Dakota ratepayer.
Okay. I'll look at proposals with an open mind as well.
Well, and based on what they filed on a legal separation, I don't think that's in the best interest, so I would say that's not where I hope it goes.
Right.
Okay, but nothing definitive on that today. You're waiting for them to give you more feedback by May
8th. Right, okay. May 8th.
Yes. Okay.
Anything else? Well, you're just in time, John. Okay, we will continue the recess and come back for the administrative portion of our meeting at 11:10.